I want us today to talk about a message from the left. Now, that's not a political speech that I'm about to give. I want you to understand, and I hope you understand that when I put the word the side on this slide, I wanted to say it's not political, but even that might be political. I may preach a message from the right, just as a complimentary lesson to this message from the left. Look at that text, Matthew chapter 25. The Son of Man is going to come in His glory. And when He does, there's to be the separation of the wicked from the righteous. They're already separated in the mind of God right now. When the Lord looks down, the Lord knows that are His. He knows who are His children. He knows whose prayers He's obligated Himself to answer. His providential eyes are over the righteous and His ears are over the prayers of the righteous. The Lord looks down, He sees the division. But you and I need to understand there will be not a division that could change. In fact, the way God looks at you could change during this service, provided there are changes you need to make into your life and to come and to be among those who are righteous. This very service could be the very time that you decide to change your life. But when He comes, He's going to gather all the nations before Him, and before Him will be gathered all mankind. And He'll separate them, the sheep from the goats, those on the left hand and those on the right hand. Now, I'm going to have to ask you to accommodate me. I know when I hold up this hand, you think that's my right hand. No, that's my left hand, and I know because I got my wedding band on it. So when I talk about that separation and there are those on the left, I want you to know I'm talking about those on the left hand of God. Wonder what they would say to us whenever that judgment has taken place and they truly are in their eternal destiny. That message from them ought really to stir us up. Now, there is the right hand, and there are those who are righteous, and we need to understand the things that are involved. In fact, on that beginning screen, I put Matthew 25, 31 through 46, because you could have had all of those verses that are there that could have been a part of the description of the things that are happening. Let's talk about the setting of that. We'll spend almost as much time dealing with the setting as we do with the message itself. And I know that sort of makes the sermon a little out of balance, and those who are in our leadership training class, we talk about the introduction not being the major part of your sermon. But guys, you better listen now. This that I'm about to say is the setting for all that's going to follow once we turn to those people on the left and say, is there anything, any message you'd like to give to me? What is the setting? Well, we need to understand that in that setting that is there, that when you get to Matthew 25, verse 31, the resurrection of all mankind has already happened. Now, I want you to hear John chapter 5 in just a minute. But John chapter 5 says, all of those that are in the grave will be raised. Listen to the words of God. Not Dan's theology, not something the Church of Christ has discovered and is teaching. These are the words of God. Jesus, when He lived on this earth, wanted you to understand what's going to happen. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. What does that mean? I know there's a lot of theology that involves the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked, separated by 1,000 years. But that's not what Jesus says in this verse. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear his voice and hear his voice and come forth. Sometimes in leadership training class, and guys, we haven't done this for the last 4 or 5 years, but we used to take time and let them read a verse and shout out every word. The hour is coming. The hour is coming when or in which? The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. These are the words of Jesus. And you have to have some theological help to misunderstand that Jesus was saying that the time is coming when there will be the voice from heaven, there will be the sound of that last trumpet, and at that time, everybody that is in the grave will come forth when in that hour they hear that voice. Somebody says, oh, that's only the righteous. Oh, no. Look at the rest of the verse. They will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. That's already happened by the time to get to Matthew chapter 25, because all mankind has been raised. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all mankind will be there. And you and I need to understand that the setting of Matthew chapter 25 and the setting of this message says the resurrection has already taken place. What else has already taken place before and as the Son of Man comes? The earth and everything in it has been destroyed. There's a resurrection of all that are in the grave. Now listen to Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 7 says, the heavens and the earth, which now are preserved by the same word, are reserved until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. What are we talking about? We're talking about that time when the heavens and earth, as we know them, those things are preserved awaiting the day of judgment. That's that separation day. So what's already occurred when he gathers all the nations? The Bible says the heaven and the earth that now are, they are preserved by the same word and they are reserved for the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Look at verse 10. That day, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What does that say? The Holy Spirit of God is trying to tell us what's going to happen in the future. And the Holy Spirit of God says this, that whenever that day of the Lord comes, the heavens and the earth will pass away. And then he says, with a great noise, and the elements, that of which all things are made, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. I know there are theological ideas that when he comes back, well, the wicked world is going to be destroyed. This verse does talk about the wickedness that is in the world. But whatever happens to the wickedness in the world is the very thing that's going to happen to the earth itself. The earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. It's no more. It is no more. And one of the messages that will come from those on the left talks about the fact you'd better pay attention to those things that are eternal and not things that are temporary. Our nation has become drunken on the temporal. on things that will matter absolutely nothing in eternity. Moses chose to suffer with the people of God for a season. And the Hebrew writer says they look for another country wherein dwelleth righteousness. What's going to happen? The setting of Matthew 25 is the earth has been destroyed. All of the dead have been raised. And then the earth itself, the heavens and the earth that are now, they will pass away. And the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Whatever is going to happen to wickedness whenever Jesus comes back is the very thing that's going to happen to the earth itself. It's the end of it. You and I need to understand that every time that we read this passage. There's a third thing that will happen as we come to Matthew chapter 25. And there will be the final judgment where all will give an account. Should we read that again and emphasize all will give? Should we read that again and emphasize the fact, must? Should we read that again and emphasize the judgment seat? Should we read it again and emphasize that each one? Should we read that again and emphasize the words, things done in the body, whether good or evil? God's Holy Spirit, through inspired men, has written in language, you've got to have help to misunderstand what this verse says. Listen to the words of God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body. That's an amazing affirmation. When the Son of Man will come in his glory, all the dead will have been raised in the same hour. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, the earth will be no more. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory, you will give an account for how I have spent the years I have lived on this earth. That's sobering. And if we'll write those words and this concept on our hearts, I promise you, if you write these words on your heart, it will change the way you live every day. The choices that you make. And it'll make you to be a better person because you're going to give an account and those things will be brought. The last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last verse in the book says, God will bring every secret thing into judgment. The thing that's in this setting is there are only two messages. One is come, the other is to depart. Jesus is going to say to those on his right hand, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to those on the left hand, he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Listen, you will hear the word come, or you'll hear the word depart from the very lips of Jesus. And there are only two destinies. There's no interim. There's no purgatory concept that, well, there's a hell that's not as hot as the other hell. That's not the way the Bible describes it. There is that which is prepared from the foundation of the world. Jesus himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. And verse 34 says that, does it not? Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41, he says to those on the left hand, he says to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God did not make a place of fire just so he could punish evil people. The place of torment is intended for the devil and his angels and those who consciously choose not to go to heaven. Could that be you? Is it possible there are changes that you need to make in your life? And so today's lesson, we'll talk about those messages that come from the left. Let's take a moment and look at those messages from the left hand. The first message says, let me emphasize to you the importance of the kingdom and the least in the kingdom. Where's that come from? Well, listen to those verses in Matthew 25 where Jesus said, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. Or you did all of these things. And then he says, as much as you've done it to the least of the kingdom, you've done it unto me. You may think that you're meaningless on this earth. The train may have left the station of you accomplishing great things in your life, but not in the eyes of Jesus. God looks down from heaven and he sees his family. He sees the bride of Jesus. He sees the kingdom of heaven. And that's not just those who are who occupy places of recognition. Oh, no. The very least in the kingdom. That's how much he values the kingdom and the kingdom's people. When people have no regard for the kingdom that he purchased with his own blood, the church, folks on the left hand would say, I beg of you, don't ignore the king and his kingdom. Now imagine having all eternity to think about that message. The next message? The next message from those on the left is the message that says there is reality to that place, the lake of fire and brimstone, and being tormented forever and ever. The word hell is found 21 times. The Greek word for hell is found 16 times, I believe it is found 16 times in the Scriptures. And every time except one, it's Jesus who talks about it. The modern view of individuals who do not want to face the reality of the fact there will be that division and there will be that judgment is to talk about how loving and how forgiving Jesus is. Jesus talks about the reality of a place where there is that eternal fire of the judgment of God. Revelation chapter 20 talks about it and describes it as a lake of fire. Imagine being out in the lake, massive lake like Lake Okeechobee, and all of a sudden you fall overboard and you're falling down in the water. There's no one there to rescue you. And you sink and you go lower and lower and lower until you find yourself overwhelmed by the waters that are there. Let me tell you of another lake. The retching stench of burning sulfur, brimstone, that when you hear it and smell it in your lifetime, makes it almost impossible for you to inhale even the breath after you've inhaled the breath of burning sulfur, falling into a lake of fire until that fire overwhelms you. And the smoke of their torment, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14 says, ascends up forever and ever. Jesus describes it as a place where there is wailing and the gnashing of teeth. I never read this verse about wailing until I call the mind of a time when I was living preaching in Birmingham. There was a friend of mine who had surgery, major surgery. And back then, you didn't go into recovery almost. They brought you out of the surgical place and carried you to your room. And he was there trying to wake up. And in his grogginess, he reached over with his left hand and caught that rail that was on that side of the bed. And as he turned, he ripped the stitches that had just been placed in his body. And I will carry to my grave the sound of the voice of my friend that echoed, fill that room and fill the hallway, and it filled my heart. And that's the torment of hell. And those on the left would say, you need to believe it. There's a third thing that we need to believe. And that is that it is eternal things that matter. The Bible says, the closing verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we look not at things that are seen, we look at the unseen things. For the things that are seen are temporary. You have never seen anything that was not temporal. Why do we spend our time trying to be satisfied by that which is temporary? It will not satisfy. You go back in the history of drugs in America, and you would have thought that when the hippies came along and really popularized the matter of marijuana, that's it. Everybody's going to stop there. They didn't. And there's another drug and another drug and another drug and a drug of choice, and it begins to grow and grow and grow and grow. And our nation is being cursed by an influx and the death of hundreds thousands every year who are seeking to find some temporary thing. Listen carefully. The 70 plus years that you may have by the grace of God living on this earth compared to eternity will seem that long. The batting of the eye. And the message from those on the left, recognize there are things that are eternal. Revelation chapter 20 says that on that day, the books will be open. And men are going to be judged by the things that are written in those books. Hear the words of Jesus if you're not sure what the books are. Jesus said, John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receive not my words has one that judge him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. There are 66 books written by men whom the Holy Spirit took up and carried them along, and they gave us a perfect understanding and a complete and an eternal understanding of everything God wants us to know on this earth. There are those eternal books. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And when he separates them, the books will be open, and there is that eternal book, and the life that is recorded in heaven, our life, my life, your life, will be recorded. And the dead were judged by the things that were written in those books according to their works. Everything about the speech you'll give an account for. Every idle word that men speak, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. All things are naked and open before the eyes of Him, before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And there's a choice you make. God says about your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. They'll never ever be mentioned again. Or every remembrance that you have of every wrong that you've ever done, you'll face it on that judgment and give an account. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then there is that eternal book, Revelation chapter 20. You start at about verse 11, read it till the end of the chapter. There is a book that has within it written down the names of every saved person. Verse 14 and 15 of Revelation 20. When He gathers together and brings all the nations, and we all stand before God to give an account of the things done in the body, whose names were not found written in the book of life, will be cast in the lake of fire. Hebrews chapter 12 says, you have come to the church of the firstborn, and their names are written in heaven. There's a church roll kept by God, and recorded in it are the names of the redeemed. Question: is your name written in that book? It's eternal. What's the message from those on the left? The folly of me working out my own will, my own plans, my understanding of God. Are you aware that Jesus says there will be religious people who did great things in His name who will be in hell? When He judged the world, many will say to me in that day, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name? Have we not cast out demons in Your name? And have we not in Your name done many wonderful works? Sometimes we think that's all that is involved. Listen to what Jesus is going to say to these people who have prophesied in His name, cast out demons in His name, and done works that would just have amazed the world of all that they have accomplished. Many will say, Lord, we prophesied. There'll be prophets in hell. There will be those who've claimed they've cast out demons in hell. And there will be those in hell who, if you looked at their life, all you could see was the good that they had done. They've worked out their own plan of salvation, and they've decided that God will judge them by the judgment book that they've written to give to God in that day. Lord, we prophesied in Your name. Lord, we cast out demons in Your name. Lord, in Your name we did many wonderful works. Judge me by this book. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Hear the verse again. Many, not just a few, but on that day there will be many who will look to Jesus and said, Lord, look at all the things we did in Your name. But Jesus says, while you may have done it, it was your works you were concerned about. It was your honor of prophesying. It was your honor of being able to say, I've cast out demons. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You know what that means? Look at verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. Message from hell. Forget your works. Forget your deeds of righteousness. And look for God's will for your life. And the plan by which you will be judged is the plan found in the books, the 66 books. Finally, the message from that place is, seek the Lord while you can. Listen to Him while you can. Find Him while you can, and obey Him. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent, because He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world. Message from those on the left. We mentioned Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, that talks about when you are part of the church of the firstborn, your name is written in heaven. What must I do to get my name written in heaven? Well, you've got to learn to trust Him. That's what belief is. We'll sing a song in a few moments that says, trust and obey, there's no other way. And Hebrews chapter 11 says, without faith, without this trusting in God, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Somebody says, well, I believe that. Have you repented? Acts 17, verse 30, we've looked at. God may at one time have overlooked things, but now commands all people, every one of us, everywhere on this earth, to repent. And except you repent, Luke 13, 3 says, you'll perish. And then there must be the expression, the verbalization of that faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, the Lord Jesus, put Him in charge, you'll be saved. But look at the word if. If you never in your life make a conscious choice to make Jesus the Lord of all of your life, you need to understand the consequences of that. If you confess Him with the mouth as the Lord, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, you'll be saved. Have you done it? And finally, to have your name written in heaven, you must be immersed in water that your sins might be forgiven. Those who had crucified Jesus said, we've killed the Son of God, what shall we do? Acts 2:37. And Peter's message was, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. Listen, they heard that like you've heard that. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. What word did they receive? Jesus is Lord. He's the Messiah. Repent and be baptized for the remission. And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the Lord added unto them about 3,000 souls. What were they added to? Look at verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily 3,000 names in one day written down in heaven. And the next day, other names were added. The Lord were added to the church daily, and there is a divine book that has within it the names of those who are members of the church of the firstborn. You want your name written in heaven. Here's His plan. Now, when you do this, your name's written in heaven. Remember, Revelation, the book of Revelation says, if you forget it and go back into the world, I will blot your name out of that book. He doesn't want to, but you can choose to walk away from the Lord. This song of invitation is to encourage those to become children of God by trusting and obeying Him because of that day of judgment that has come. And a message from the left screams, Don't come to this place. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's the words of the song. Listen to the words. And if there are changes you need to make, write this in your life today. Come to the front and let us help you make those changes while together we stand and sing. Will you come?